Scripture today is Romans 12. Let's read it together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters,
in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to this pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Has anybody been Reiki lately? Anybody have a rake in their hand in the last month? Anybody have big trees that are still holding on to their leaves? I love my neighborhood. I'm over in Manham Township. Somehow their schedule wasn't aligned with actually the leaves. So they'd come through twice before the leaves had fallen. And then after they had fallen, then they were done. So this year I realized that they moved back their schedule, you know, further into the calendar. And so hopefully we're going to coincide. Now there's many methods to approaching raking leaves. Now, how many of you get out there and rake as soon as they come down so you can get ahead of the pile? Anybody try to just get out there in a regular way? Okay. All right. Yes. How many just hop in their lawnmower and either mulch them up or put them in a bag and just dump them? How many are, yes, we're like the mulching. How many just leave them alone and hope they blow into the neighbor's yard? My wife told me the story of her grandfather from China when he was visiting. Didn't have much to do, so in the fall, they lived in New Jersey at the time, he would go out and rake the leaves. And I guess, you know, so every day he'd be out, and he was kind of ahead of schedule because there were like half the leaves still up in the tree. So one time she looked out and she saw him with his rake shaking at the tree, threatening him to come down because he wanted to rake right then. So raking can either be a very stressful kind of experience, or it could be one that actually can be very relaxing. Some people love raking and jumping and running through them and then taking their lawnmower and chopping all up and just having fun in the leaves. And we find that our spirituality can be the same way. As we think about how we grow and deepen and be transformed in Christ, it can be stressful, especially if I try to make it happen, right? Okay, Jesus, make me more patient, right? Now, right? But we know patience is built in our lives slowly. In fact, the Old Testament King James word for patience was what? Long-suffering. How descriptive, right? If you want patience and suffer a long time, then maybe you'll get there. So today, we're in the process of taking our pulse, seeing where we are, what our health is, and what might God want to do in us individually and as a body to continue to birth new life in us and in our congregation. Now, another reading of that same passage is out of the Message. Do you have that one? There we go. Let's take it piece by piece. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Stop. Here's what I want you to do with God helping you. What's that tell you about spiritual growth? You can shout at me.
We need God.
We need God. Yes, thank you. Lord, we need you, right? If you read Romans 1 through 11 previous to this chapter, you know we need God because no one is righteous, no, not one. Jew and Gentile alike are all in trouble unless Jesus comes and pays our penalty, dies for us, rises and rises us with him to a new life in Christ. And so he's the one that offers us new life. We can't go get it at the dollar store, right? I can't order it on Amazon. I can't make my 20-year plan how I'm going to get to heaven. But Jesus says, I have a way forward with you, individually as a church, if you let me help you. And so right there, we should go, wow, it's not all on me. So everybody take a deep breath and just relax. It's not on you. What did Jesus say about his yoke?
Easy.
Yeah. And we don't believe it sometimes. Where, you know, Jesus has his yoke. So, come on with me. I'll carry your load. I'll go with you. Go. Oh, I don't know, Jesus. You know, that seems kind of confining. I could do this on my own. Maybe you move too slow for me. Right? Jesus says, well, okay. He'll wait. Let me do this with you. And eventually, either through frustration or exhaustion, we say, okay, Jesus, help me. He goes, oh, you know, I've been waiting to help you all along. So here's what I want you to do, Dawn. Me helping you is take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. Is anything left out of there? I mean, that's your whole life, right? It's your days, it's your nights, it's your work, it's your play, it's your rest, it's your thoughts in between, it's your feelings. It's all you go through 24/7. God was the first 24/7 convenience store, right? He says, come to me, all who are laboring, no matter what time it is. Take that work and place it before God as an offering. What's the image that comes to you when we place it on an offering? Offer to God, right. And what out of the Old Testament? What would Jews do? What would they bring to the temple? Sacrifices. It could be wheat. It could be animals. And actually, and you know, what I love about the Hebrew rituals is they were barbecues, family reunions. They'd bring these things. They would offer them to God and they'd get them cooked, medium rare. And then they would sit and have a barbecue. Okay. God has a way of taking our lives, our normal everyday lives, and we offer over to God, making something very beautiful and tasty and a great meal that unites us to God and to each other. You see, God loves a good party. And when we offer ourselves to God, then we're able to party with God and discover what He has for us next. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Now, for a lot of people, it's like, well, you know, I really have to work hard and impress God, so maybe God will let me have a relationship, or God will accept me, or I'll be good enough. And God says, no, you can never be good enough. But if you offer yourself to me and let me embrace you, boy, that's good enough, right? How many here have children or grandchildren? Yeah. I have a brand new granddaughter. I didn't bring the picture to show, but I have $25,000 in my wallet, you know, on my phone. And Miriam, Mimi, is 6 months old this week. And I go down to Delaware every week to visit her and hang out with my son and my granddaughter and his wife. And does Mimi have to do anything for me? No. She just has to relax and let me hold her. And we have a blast. So sometimes when you're working hard for God, and this church is a hard-working church. Sometimes we just need to relax and say, God, okay, it's Sabbath. I need that sea of eternity to be growing in me. So how do we relax and let God now do what God needs to do in me? Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without thinking. And then the next, is there another passage? Yeah. The next one. Instead, fix your attention on God. It's been a crazy political season. Our attention's all over the place. And no matter where you come out, God says, focus on me. I had to unplug from news about a month ago because I was getting all riled up in every direction. And I said, God, I just need to fix on you. How do you want me to respond to the challenges and opportunities today? And, you know, when you focus on God, you'll be changed from the inside out, right? What happened when Moses focused on God? How did he change? He got radiant, right? In fact, he was glowing so much he had to cover it because it was kind of scaring people. He was wearing a veil. What happened to Peter when he's sinking in the water, when he started focusing on Jesus? Call for help, and Jesus did what? Pulled him up. Really recognize what God wants from you, quickly respond to it, and that's why we're here. Today we're going to try to recognize what God is calling for us right now. We know what God did in the past, we're not sure about the future, but right now God will be clear. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out of you, developing well-formed maturity in you. And that's the good news of Romans 12, is we surrender. We relax. We pay attention, and then we walk, right? Because God's at work in every person, in every culture, all the time. And our role in this partnership is to pay attention. And then hear our call, not somebody else's call, but our call, and move forward. And so the discernment process that we're in, going to continue in, know that it's shaping you individually, because God's not done with you or me yet. But as God shapes you, he's going to shape this congregation into its next season. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we love you. We worship you. We are your children, the sheep of your pasture. Oh God, guide us anew, good shepherd, as we listen to your voice and guidance. Thank you that you promised to be with us and to give us what we need to follow you. Holy Spirit, we pray that now in the days and years ahead, you'll bind us together as your body. And Holy Spirit, empower us as your people so that we can do the good and beautiful work you have us to do in Christ. And all God's children said, amen.